Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. And my name is Kurt Ozon. And today I'm joined by Runaway June.
Yay. Hello.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Media Day.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, congrats on the release of your new record or future release, depending on when this comes out. I'm not sure when that's coming out. But it's good to have you guys in. It's I've seen some familiar faces, and good to meet you, Stevie, of course, for the first time.
You too.
But thanks for coming in. How's everything been going?
It's been good. We've been really busy just working on writing and touring and getting like promoting this new record, and we're excited about sharing it because it's a collection of songs we've worked on for like 3 years now. So it's finally time for it to be released, and so we've just been getting ready for that.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a minute, I guess, since you guys really put out a full-length record, right? 2019? Is that right?
I don't even remember. Yeah, I lose like track of time.
Yeah.
It feels like a long time.
No. Yeah, it's been, singles and different acoustic things and stuff like that. So it'd be nice to have a full record out.
To also just be able to release an album in 2025, like when people aren't really doing albums anymore, It just feels so special and cool. I just feel like it's just very neat.
I loved going through all the writing credits and seeing all your names on everything, too. Very inspiring.
Thanks. Oh, thank you.
I know all of you guys as probably writers first and foremost, so it makes sense that happened.
Yeah.
One thing I think is really cool is I was looking through also like the production notes, and I'm seeing like Christian Bush is producing a lot of stuff like that. That must have been fun.
Yes, I adore Christian. We had so much fun with him, and we had fun with his process because he just the way that he is with pre-production and working with just the three of us before we go into the studio, you know, you don't always get that part of it. And so that was really fun. And I don't know, he's just such a creative person. Like, I just feel like music is safe as in his hands, you know?
Well, so what did that like pre-production look like for y'all? Is that like you guys go and like work on the lyrics, tighten them up, or is it like instrumentation or?
Yes.
Instrumentation, yeah.
All of the above, yeah, everything. Arrangement stuff too, like making sure that where the harmonies are coming in and out and that it's impacting in the right spot, you know, that we feel the emotion from what we're doing, you know, trying to find those sweet spots.
There's definitely like a cohesiveness throughout the whole record, even though that there's different, you know, production producers on different songs. And I think, like, thematically, it's, like, there's plenty of steel guitar. I noticed, obviously, I play steel guitar. Yeah. And then, obviously, like, your fiddle playing and then electric guitar. And so, it's a record. And it feels tight. And it sounds great. So, congrats to you guys.
Thank you. I think that was an important part for us, too, is the instrumentation of it. Because we're all musicians at the end of the day, too. Mm-hmm. So, whatever is on the record, we're going to have to play live. And so that was important. Like, our live show is really fun, and we're all playing different instruments and switching instruments and all of that. So for three women especially, I think it's kind of rare, so we wanted to make that like a thing.
And it also, I will say too, like, sometimes that led the writing sessions for us. Yeah. Like, we would try to find something cool to expand on, like harmonica and fiddle being played together, or making sure that the harmonica is included in a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, it was fun because, like, sometimes going from a riff or trying to like make that the focal point was a fun way to try to create something.
Yeah, it's different than the usual, like, music row, show up at 10, right till 1 kind of a thing, maybe.
Definitely.
Because also we are on the road together. So we wrote songs in cars. We wrote songs in hotel rooms, on radio tour. We wrote songs in management meetings. So I think, you know, for us, it was just whenever we felt inspired, we were together. A lot of times at soundcheck, we'd just start fooling around. Steve would be playing something, and then Natalie would play.
These two are notorious for that. It's one of my favorite things. I feel like I'm always still like setting up whatever fiddle
your
I'm trying to get 500
instruments.
There's only three, but it takes a minute, and while I'm doing that, like, they will have already written half a song, and I'm like, wait guys, I'm coming.
I'm first world problems, you know.
Right,
that's great. I mean, I know myself, I'm the multi-instrumentalist a lot of times, and I mean, I know you guys are playing harmonica and lead guitar and all that, but it's like I've always have the most stuff to carry. Sometimes the guitar players are like, I'm done. And I'm like having to schlep my stuff everywhere.
Yeah. I see you.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned touring. Are you guys have a busy summer coming up or what's going on? I know you mentioned something about getting on the bus soon and bringing some surf size with you.
Yeah. Yeah. We are definitely doing that. We have a show in Ohio this weekend and then we've been on a lot of radio tour shows and all doing the thing.
Yeah.
So, because we have a single out at Country Radio now. So, we've just been doing that.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's called New Kind of Emotion. Mm-hmm. And so, we've spent actually the last 2 years, I would say, on radio tour, which has been really crazy. So, we've been doing a lot of that and a lot of, like I said, just getting ready for the album to come out and photo shoots, content days, which is now a thing that you have to do. But yeah, we've been, yeah, exactly. Lip syncing will, you know, be the death of me, but we have to do it. So,
I mean, it beats digging ditches, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Radio tour is crazy. It's like,
it is.
I've gotten to do it a lot, you know. You just get put in a lot of interesting situations.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. Also, Jen's been doing radio tour for like a decade.
I was gonna, because
your like previous band, then you were on the, she was on the label side for me when I had my solo deal.
Uh-huh.
So we had gone to radio together, just not in the same band until I joined Runaway Cheer. I feel like you've been on radio tour more than anyone, though.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to hell because I think I've served my time. God's like, you're going right up to heaven.
Funny.
I know it's I listened to a Trisha Yearwood interview on SiriusXM and she was talking about putting out a new record and having to do a radio tour again. And and she's
crazy.
Like, she's like, they had me playing at a Logan Steakhouse.
No.
Oh my gosh, Trisha Yearwood.
What?
I mean, it's crazy.
That is insane.
You know, it's like when Darius came to country, he did a radio tour.
Yeah.
You know?
Everybody does. It's a rite of passage.
Like, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've done it, you know,
it's just sometimes a rite of passage for many years.
But I've had some like incredible, unique moments for sure doing that kind of stuff.
You know what my favorite thing about radio tour is? We get put on a lot of shows and you meet a lot of artists because you get put on these shows with the upcoming artists. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I've met some of my best friend, Eric Pasley, my favorite co-writer. We met on radio tour, you know? So that's kind of really a special thing is I feel like you meet a lot of people that are kind of at your same place and it's fun to kind of grow up together and then see new faces. We just played a show with Avery Anna.
Mm-hmm.
She's unbelievable. I was just like floored. So it's just, there's so many cool parts of radio tour too. I can't say it's all hell.
But also there's like no bullshit, right? Because you're just up there playing acoustic and other people.
Yeah.
So there's no computers or anything like that. So it's like, can you sing and can you play? And do
we're
going to
find
songs?
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's something that you guys can crush. And also not a lot of people have 3-part harmonies.
And yeah, so, that's like our superpower in those situations.
Yeah, your cheat code.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I know like with Luke, it's like we have our pre-show rituals. And I'm like, if you have 3-part harmonies and everything, there's got to be a group warm-up. Like, what does y'all's pre-show warm-ups look like or rituals? Or?
That's a good idea, though. We don't have that. But I'm like,
drinking
cool
champagne.
Idea.
Yeah, probably. Drinking champagne.
We don't do vocal warm-ups collectively. We probably should. Mm-hmm. But
we should get like the whole band in on that.
Yeah.
You know,
most of them
fun.
Sing anyway. Yeah. So.
Well, I know like I mentioned Darius, but it's like him and his guys, like half hour before the show, we'll get together and sing together. And like the Zach Brown guys, they're all singers, so they get together an hour before and they do a group warm up. And like Luke will do a warm up with those. You guys use that YouTube channel where it's like Mommy Mamie.
Yeah.
I've never done that, but I'll do those just because I grew up doing them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So I mean, that's kind of like what I don't sing on stage with Luke, obviously, but that's what they do. It's like they'll sing that together and kind of warm up. So I was wondering
That is really cool.
We're going to start incorporating that.
Yeah. I feel like we're always kind of warming up while we're doing our makeup or in the shower. Mm-hmm. Or
kind of individually.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But that would be fun to do it together.
Yeah. I remember like when I first started playing with Luke, he didn't warm up at all and would just go out and sing.
What?
Yeah. And it was.
What?
It was like scary good. I'm like, oh my God. He just like is inhuman, you know? And then eventually it was like, radio tour, and then you're up with the PD drinking till two, and then you have a 6 a.m. flight, and that'll catch up to you. Yeah. And then it's like, then it's time to take care of ourselves and drink our waters and do our warm-ups.
For sure.
His voice is insane, man.
The thought of just going out onto stage and just like singing those huge notes cold, like not having warmed up, is like so impressive. Crazy. But yeah, you got to take care of that instrument. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, champagne could help, I guess.
Oh, too. It does.
Yeah.
Is that on the rider?
You know what's crazy? We haven't put it on the rider yet. We just started drinking champagne, I felt like, a couple, 2 years ago. But it's been 2 years and we haven't put it on the rider. They still give us tequila and wine, which we love too.
But we somehow get it every single time. Every single time.
We just go buy it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, I feel like if you're particular about it, it's like you don't want them to bring you some, like, what is it, like Andre or whatever?
Oh my gosh, headache central.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should just put Vouv on our rider.
And see if we can get it.
Yeah, nobody books us anymore. Yeah.
I mean, that would be a treat. I love, you know, it's like, I was, you know, listening to the record. Let's go through the record. Let me pull up my title list here. Let's do that.
This is exciting.
Yay.
Maybe we can just go through a little bit each song. We can just kind of talk about it if you guys want to start. Start with Real Good Night. I think for a record to open with just like an up-tempo banger, classic, right?
That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I mean, it's such a fun, like, to me, it's like the getting ready to go out song. Like, it's the kind of song that I'd want to play if I'm putting my makeup on, hanging out with my girls, getting ready for a good night. So,
yeah, like a pre-drink kind of song.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes me happy, too. Every time I hear it, I just get happy listening to that song.
Yeah, it's a good, I mean, that one's a really fun, like, girl group song. Yeah. You know, you want to sing that with your friends, you know?
Okay, so, and then I'm looking at Drink Champagne. I think for me, this is, I think lyrically is just Runaway Junior as it gets, right? I feel like production-wise, I think it's very different, you know, with all the percussion. It's like kind of have like a Latin feel. How did that come about?
Well, Ron Fair actually produced that, and in particular that song. So it's that song just the three of us girls wrote. We were actually in a management meeting and we just, you know, started writing it. And that's so cool that you think that lyrically, like, that's as Runaway June as it gets, because that was just us three and we didn't have another co-writer in there. And so that's as authentic as you can get with being Runaway June, but it had this kind of Latin flair and it didn't feel like it was like the traditional country way. And so we actually asked Ron Fair, who's produced Christina Aguilera, the Pussycat Dolls. I mean, it just goes on and on. If he would produce that song, because we thought it needed something different and it needed to kind of have a producer that understood, like, that you can go outside the box, you know? And so I feel like he did a really cool job on that and definitely has some Latin flair. Stevie and I are both have Latin blood. So it came out. Don't I look like it?
Yeah, for sure. And also with headphones on, listening to that, hearing like the percussion, like, it sounds awesome.
Oh, cool.
Thanks. Yeah, it sounds really cool. And it makes me want to drink champagne.
Yay. Well, come drink it with us. Dun,
dun, mission dun, accomplished. Dun,
dun. Yeah. And also, like, the harmony is different because, like, you know, it's like in the bro country era, you have a lot of, like, you know, G, D, E minor, C songs all the time. So this, to have it be like in like a minor key for a champagne song, is like pretty fun and pretty cool.
Yeah. It's funny because when you're writing it, you're not like typically not thinking of that. That started with a riff and it was one that Jen had come up with in the management meeting, and the management meeting was put to a halt. And we all we were at my house. So I had my guitar there and she was like, play da 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 da. So I'm like on the guitar. Dun, dun, dun. And so then it transpired from that. It wasn't like, oh, let's play C, G, which is typically how it does go in Nashville. So that one's definitely different, but it's a fun different.
Yeah, it seems like guitar riffs is like at the core of y'all's like writing kind of thing.
Yeah, well, we got a great guitar player over
here.
Yeah, we just rely on old guitar slinger over there and ready to go.
Now just to pivot back to the live thing a little bit, you're talking about, you know, like harmonica and fiddle and all this stuff like that. What do you guys roll with if you're playing a full band show? How many other folks do you bring? Obviously, a drummer, a bass player, right?
Yeah, there's three of us, and then drummer, bass guitarist, and electric guitarist. Mm-hmm. So there's six of us, plus our sound man.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. You know, the crew, yeah.
And then sometimes the manager, and sometimes the baby, Lily.
Yeah, she's coming this weekend.
So we've got to get her an instrument in her hand soon so she can join the band.
She has this, like, really big... What are the, like, ear cans or whatever?
Yeah, but she hates wearing them. She just, like, refuses to wear it. So
she's up there dancing. She feels like she's one of us anyway. Yeah. She's like, y'all don't have those on. Why would I wear them?
Yeah, she wants the microphone. She wants to be on stage with the microphone.
And it's like our hearing is already completely damaged, so that's why we don't need these.
Right, yeah. Right.
We
exactly.
can still save you.
Sometimes I'm, like, on stage and I'm, like, doing my thing and I'm having fun. And then I'll see, like, a little kid in the front row without ear protection on. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
Oh, my gosh. We were playing a show for CMA Fest on Broadway in downtown Nashville. And there was had to be 3 or 4 month old baby with no ears on. And it was, like, the loudest show I've ever been to in my entire life. And the mom's just walking around with it. The baby's profusely crying. And I'm like, that baby is going deaf. Oh, like, no doubt.
Oh, that's so hard to see.
I don't know how people don't know.
Yeah.
You need to put earmuffs on your baby.
Yeah.
They don't come with manuals, I guess. Is the
yeah, right.
And then when you got one that refuses to wear them,
yeah,
that just takes them off.
You, just, like, you get the duct tape and you're just like...
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, we got more tunes to go through. Stars on the Ceiling. I had them growing up.
Oh, with cool.
The Jupiter one, you know, and all that.
Yeah, I forgot about the Jupiter one. Mm-hmm. I had that one too.
It was, I was, you know, preparing for this podcast, listening to the music, and I have my super secret link that people send me, and just, like, this wave of nostalgia hit me. I was in the gym, like, listening to this, and I was like, I totally forgot I used to have these.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like an unlocked memory a little
yeah
bit.
Totally. And a very novel idea for a song. I feel like it's not something I've, you know, it's like sometimes with song titles, things have been written before most of the times. Everything's been written, but this I'm like, that's interesting. Like, yeah. I've never heard a song, like, about that idea, I guess, which is cool.
Yeah, that's
all Stevie.
I know, that was Stevie.
Not all me, but these girls bring it to life in a great way.
What, you had that on your ceiling too growing up?
And yeah, just yeah. Yeah, and it's just one of those songs that, like, kind of wrote itself, and it's really about, like, when life gets hard, you can go back to that place when you were a little kid and you had those stars in your ceiling. And so I think it's a good reminder for people, because as an adult, life can get really overwhelming a lot. But, you know, it's possible to find peace, you know? So, yeah.
I wanted to be an astronaut growing up. So
did
that's
you
why
really?
Wow.
Yeah, I went to space camp.
No way.
Oh my gosh,
that's
so
cool.
My daughter's in space camp. She loves what? It. She goes, astronaut school. Oh, it's so cute.
Gosh. Yeah. And whenever I tell people that, they go, well, how was the anti-gravity room? I'm like, that's not a thing.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Violates many laws of physics.
Well, so what happened to your dream? You were like, I'm going to be a rock star instead.
Yeah, I think I got into guitar playing.
Yeah.
And I, like, started playing Smells Like Teen Spirit and got the Dookie record, and the rest is history.
There we go.
How
you
old
need
were
to have
you?
Luke Combs go up to space and
yeah, I know,
take
right?
you
play
up there
gig.
And play. Yeah.
I started playing guitar when I was 10.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is how y'all were. You were probably playing when you were, like, 1 year old. I feel like all fiddle players, if they're good, you have to start early to get good.
Because you don't realize how bad it is. You're just making noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very thankful that I started young.
I'm trying to learn fiddle right now, and it's...
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well...
When did you start?
Winter of 22, like December,
okay.
We were listening to Luke's new record, and there's a song, and it had a fiddle intro. And I was like, you know, we're all just sitting around listening to the new record. Oh, that's a cool song. That's cool. And he's like, that's going to be you. I'm like, oh, yeah, I could play that on dobro, or I could play it on steel guitar or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, you're going to learn that on fiddle. I was like, shit. Okay. So I had a fiddle. I tried to learn it before. I never could. And then I got a teacher, and she's an incredible teacher. Like, she's a great player, but, like, has the art of teaching pedagogy. She just,
yeah. Yeah.
So I just started taking bi-weekly lessons for months and months and months.
That's so awesome.
So
can you play that intro?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty easy.
Is that the only thing that you play in the show on fiddle?
I play, like, three songs. that there's three songs in the catalog that I play on.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Like,
well, you haven't heard me play yet.
Good enough to play on stage with Luke Combs. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, for a while we were using Flatland was on tour with us. Uh-huh. And so Wes plays fiddle for them. And he was playing the intro.
Oh, that's cool.
And then one day Tyler, our band leader, was like, all right, dude, you're in next week. I was like, okay. And I was scared shitless and my hands were like,
yeah,
because it's like we're on stage how many times a year and for how many years, you know?
Yeah,
like we've all done this. And so the nerves, you know, every once in a while if it's like a big show, but it's like generally you're just out there having fun, right?
Yeah,
you're not even thinking about it. And I hadn't been that scared in a while, which was really fun in a way.
Yeah, totally.
And I didn't do that good, and I listened to the board tape like 100 times and like kind of rubbed my own nose in it. And but it's cool. It's just a brutal instrument. It's so brutal. It's like the voice, I think. It's like people that when they listen to it, they can tell. It's like if someone's not a good singer, you can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I feel that way. With guitar, some people are like, oh, it sounds good. I don't know. Yeah. But like with fiddle, it's like it's very lyrical in the playing. And so if you're not on it, it's a little tough.
And
so
it's really nuanced too. I mean, like just like the slightest movement of your finger forwards or backwards can be the difference of a half step. Yeah. And so it's really crazy, particular, especially in certain places on the neck. But that's so awesome that you just were like, I'm going to learn how to do that. I'm going to play that intro. And now you play professionally. You play fiddle professionally now. That's amazing.
I thought it would be kind of fun to learn the intro on, I forget what the name of the tune was, kind of the Irishy flavored one.
Uh-huh.
That's on the new record. Which tune is that?
Oh, Come Home to Me.
Yeah, I was like, this would be fun to show the girls, and then I just ran out of time.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
Yeah. We would have definitely like fangirled over
that.
We'll have to get you up on stage to play that.
Yeah.
We'll do twin fiddles.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take you up on that.
And we need to get Stevie on it. We can do triple fiddles because she can play too.
You play also?
I grew up playing classical violin, so I've never tried fiddle.
So you can play in tune.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. I haven't played like classical in a couple years, but I do. It's one of my favorite instruments to play.
Quad fiddles?
Speaking of you, I'll be like playing cowbell while you guys are doing the fiddle. But that's actually interesting. You guys should do. We should do that.
I don't know why we haven't.
It's twin crazy. Fiddles.
Yeah. I feel like we have a lot of things that we're adding to your show days.
Do you want
to
be? Do you want to be band leader?
Yeah, we're just.
All right, girls, get in there, do your vocal warm ups, and do your fiddle warm ups, and drink your champagne, or else.
Well, I would love to learn dobro. It's my favorite instrument.
Yeah, that would be so cool to be able to play.
I know.
You should do it.
It's so hard. I try. Yeah. I tried a little bit, but it's.
Oh, you have.
My ex-boyfriend. We're friends now, but he's a great dobro player. Oh, you know Josh Matheny.
Oh yeah, I just played a funeral with him.
Oh.
I shouldn't laugh, but it's kind of a weird sentence to say.
Yeah, it is.
But he's amazing. He tried to teach me, and I'm like, oh, this is just not my.
No,
it was not a gift I was given. But I love listening to it. It's my favorite.
I think there's something we said like for music and practicing. It's like if you're really truly passionate about something, then it's a lot easier to sit in a room and play for 3 or 4 hours or whatever.
Absolutely.
But if you want to, like, I would love to be a great singer, but I don't ever practice. So, and I'm not like, I don't want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'd rather sit and play guitar. I just rather would.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like, having passion for something makes it easier to get better at it.
Yeah,
totally.
Definitely.
You're right.
And when you start progressing as a player, that's when it's motivating to continue, you know? Yeah, it is. It's an addiction for sure.
Mm-hmm. And the fiddle, it's like for a while, it's like I did get addicted to it too. But now this last year, what year is it, 25?
Yeah.
There's no fiddle songs in the set.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Luke's at this really privileged, I guess, point in his career where it's like a song can go number one and then we don't play it in the set, which is like.
That's wild.
So crazy.
Insane.
They were like, you're done. You're done with fiddle.
Yeah.
How long is your set typically? Is it 90 like, or is it
probably like two hours?
Yeah. 2 hours, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. I mean,
that's wild to think about.
We've got a lot of ballads that did well, so if we played all the ballads all the time, it would just be like,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have songs though that are like the live songs that work really well that weren't necessarily hits,
absolutely,
but that have to stay in the show?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because
they're
crowd favorites.
Yeah, yeah. We do. I don't know how you guys are familiar with Luke's catalog, but I Must Have Never Met You, off his first record. And Houston, We Have a Problem, which are two songs off his early record. And we have a couple songs like that. They're just up-tempo and fun.
That's awesome.
And And then, you know, I covers and stuff.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
What you guys work covers in the all set? Of course, I'm sure.
Yeah, we do.
Well, hit them.
Of course we do. Devil Went Down to Georgia, typically. Of course. That one is usually a crowd favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
We do. It's fun because we do Tom Petty in our live set. And we do Dwight Yoakam, which is funny because that was on the first Runaway June record. So it feels like we've adopted that one the same way that I feel like I've adopted Devil because I've played it my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Adele.
I love Adele so much.
I do too.
Same.
Luke's like, he told me, he's like, if you ever get a better gig and you want to go take it, like, go. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. But if Adele called me,
or Metallica, she's the one.
Yeah, probably. I would go just for a go play in Vegas for a few months or something.
I mean, how cool would that
be? Yeah, that would be incredible.
So Adele, if you're listening.
Yeah. One of my favorites.
You should write.
Yeah, right. Yeah. One of my favorites that we do, typically acoustically, we don't do it with the live band as much anymore, but You're No Good.
Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, that one's really fun.
That's
to
killer.
Do.
Yeah, we love that one. I feel like the harmonies blend really nicely on that one.
Yeah. And you just sound so good on that one. It's fun.
Thank you.
I feel like if I'm at a campfire and if someone's singing a song, it's easy to like throw a harmony on top, just kind of like ad lib, and just that's like a muscle you practice, work out, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a band, are you guys singing like exactly the same harmony parts? Because it's like that's got to be a ton of work, right? Memorizing when to sing, and you're only singing like a few parts of the word sometimes. Like, is that super tough to do?
I feel like it's like muscle memory. Yeah. Like, you know, once we figure out the song and where we're singing. I don't, it's not that difficult.
It's just like learning a lead part or learning a riff. It's like you, that becomes the song to you.
Yeah.
Once you learn that piece of it, you know, I don't know.
It is tough though. Cause there are things like you can't, especially being a lead singer, you can't like deviate from your note or where you go. Cause you've got two other girls that are like relying
following
on you to
you.
Sing that note that you're going to sing. So it's kind of like, in a way, like puts you in a box, but you can open that box up if you want to rework it, you know, and play it.
Yeah.
But it's it's definitely like becomes muscle memory at this point. I think I could do it.
Yeah.
Because we've had bands on here, but not like full vocal band. Yeah. And so it's like if we had Blackhawk or somebody getting here, I would ask them kind of a similar question.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I guess like you work out the harmonies like in the studio and then that's just when you kind of internalize it.
For sure. And it's so interesting too with these songs. Like when I sing it, it's if I don't have their harmonies on it, I almost lose track of where I am in the song. So it's like a stamp in my brain. So like if I'm singing You're No Good by myself, I would 100% forget the lyrics because I don't have their like voices. So it's just,
you know,
so funny.
What else too, like just learning each other. We know like when each other, like the breathing even like it's so weird just singing when you sing this much with two other girls, you like just instinctually know what they're gonna do. It's really kind of wild in that way thinking about it.
That was something that was cool about Christian Bush's process that we hadn't really experienced before, but he had us, obviously when we're doing vocals we have to be separated for the sound, but he had us in positions where we could see each other because he really wanted us focusing on our breath the way that we do if we're singing in a room together.
Yeah.
And so that was a really cool piece of that. And I feel like we pretty much learn whatever we put on the record, but when we do it acoustic or with the live band, sometimes you have to rework stuff because there's stacks of vocals or there's like more than two parts. And so we have to, Jen and I have to work out like what's most important. Do I need to like, do we sing this together? Do we split? Do we, you know, where do we come in? So that part is fun to me too, of like figuring out what's the most effective, just the three of us.
Yeah. And if you're working with Ron Fair, you're going to be singing like 1,000 different harmony parts. So.
A million notes.
Yeah.
You sing all the notes. I sing all of Jen's parts. She sings all of mine. We stack everything. And there's like 15 parts in between.
And then he's also like, okay, sing this like a gospel singer. All right. Now this take, sing it like you're a 3-year-old. And this take, it's all over the board.
Campaign.
Literally. No, yeah.
That's exactly so fun. How it is. It's wild.
I would have loved to have been there when that was happening. I feel like just the juxtaposition of like a dude like Christian who's been in country music world for so long versus someone that's a complete outsider coming in and like working on stuff. It must have been like, was it like night and day or was it?
It's just such a completely different process.
Yeah.
And also typically, I mean, sometimes we would go in just kind of for moral support for each other. But with Ron, you typically, there's no reason for someone else to be there. You know, mm-hmm. we would be separate. So we're not really doing that part together. And yeah. then we hear how it comes out and it's really cool, but it's just a different way of doing it.
I would love to be able to pull up the session and like dig through all the stems. I feel like
you'd find like 10,000 stems.
You should have Ron Fair on.
I would love to. That'd
he would
so
love
cool.
to like pick apart. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, he did the 1,000 miles.
Oh yeah, Vanessa Carlton.
Yeah, thank you.
We played that song in our set.
Did you really? Oh my gosh, that's so yeah. cool.
We do like a band medley where everyone like has their own moment, and so our keys player sings and plays it.
So cool. Yeah. Awesome. I bet people go crazy for that.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. There's like all these like dudes in like boots and jeans that are like,
yeah.
yeah.
I just think of White Chicks anytime I hear that movie.
I was like, I wanted to have that like on the video board.
You got to. That would be really funny.
Yeah. yeah.
That's amazing.
We were like only doing like country stuff. You know, we do like Sold or like Desperado or something. Mm-hmm. And then this year we're doing all these like pop festivals and stuff. So we throw in some pop music in there.
That's smart. Kind of fun. That's yeah. fun.
And I'm sure it's fun for you guys too to switch it up every now and then. Just yeah. play something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I play Salt and the Swing, which is like pretty fun.
Oh, love
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Very fun.
That's love really it. Neat.
Okay. Well, let's dive back into some of this other tunes. Is there anything, any specific songs that you guys want to talk about?
What was your favorite?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, I love to be yours. Congrats. Oh,
thank you.
So, well, why don't you tell us the story besides that?
Yeah. So, I'm getting married in 2 months, and that song was inspired by that relationship, and just kind of we were talking about having kids one day, and. Mm-hmm. He was asking me if I wanted kids, and I just said I would love them, but if it doesn't happen for whatever reason, then you know I would be happy just to be with you, and that's good enough. Mm-hmm. And so it came from that conversation, and we wrote it with Aaron. I'm gonna butcher his last name.
I'm gonna butcher it to Estheus.
I'm not. I don't know how to say that.
I should. We should know.
Sorry, Aaron.
Estheus, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's yeah. Yeah. That actually sounds. Accurate yeah.
but believable
yeah so we finished writing that one together, and it was another one that Ron Fair produced, and he just took it to another planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a special song. It's my fiance's favorite on the
Aww.
album.
Aww.
And yeah, and actually I think his favorite song that I've ever been a part of writing, so it's like it's a special timestamp for us too.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's very sweet. It's very beautiful.
Thank you.
And I'm proud of you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to everything.
I know.
Too.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. Well, that's the fun part, right?
Yeah. We haven't really experienced this though. Like we haven't, like since the album hasn't come out yet for us live talking about this.
Yeah.
We haven't really gotten to do this yet. So it's so fun.
It's real and it's coming. It's going to come out.
Finally.
Let me see if I have the date here, or do you guys have it memorized? On September 19th?
Yeah,
is that right?
That's right.
That's less than a month.
Ah,
from oh my the day gosh, of the is it
that's
really?
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
When did that happen?
Wild. It's wild. Wow.
How long has the record been done and you're just like waiting?
The last song just got done, I think maybe like a month or two ago,
yeah,
right?
It wasn't that long ago.
So we had written all of them except Come Home to Me was the last one. And
we didn't even know that we were going to have the ability to put that one on. We thought the record was done, and then it turned out we could have one more song, and we had just, well, we wrote that song a while ago, but we were so excited about it. And so when we got the chance, we were like, come home to me, please. That would be perfect on this album. So,
Is there any songs that you were like, super excited to be put into like the live thing? Is it a live show?
Honestly, Real Good Night, I think, is a great live song. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a fun like show opener. Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard too, because it's, I mean, obviously, as the first one on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we need to change our set. It's been a little bit since we've changed, you know, the structure of the set, but I think adding the new songs would be fun. I also am very excited to add Come Home to Me in there. And like, it's got that Celtic feel, which is really cool. And like the stomps and stuff, just fun musical things that we can add.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's country, but it's like slightly different. And I love, like, Luke has a song, Five Leaf Clover, and like Ash McBride has a song, Luckiest SOB, which is like my favorite Ash song. And it kind of lives in that world, that kind of like Irishy bluegrass sort of world, which is a cool world to live
in.
I mean,
the chicks were really good at that space.
Yeah. I love seeing, it was like, you know, Runaway Junior, they were like the first female group to, you know, do good on radio since like the Chicks or whatever the stat was. I got in the email.
I love that. Yeah.
It's wild though to think about that. We're like, gosh, there hasn't been a female trio on the radio since the the Chicks. It's just wild. Yeah. It feels like now there's a few of them coming up, which makes me happy.
Yeah.
Because we grew up listening to female three-part harmony on the radio, you know, and it's beautiful, and it's sad that it's been missing for so long.
Yeah. But the cool thing is now it's like, you know, with radio being what it is, and it's being tough, of course. But there's also like so many different avenues to find what you love.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
And when people are like, oh, country radio or country music is lame, blah, 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 I'm like, you're just lazy. Like, you're not even looking.
Yeah.
Like, there's whatever kind of country music you want to listen to. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear super straight, you know, you can go listen to Jesse Daniels, or if you want to, you know, a beer drinking song, you can just, there's a, any different millions of
any
lanes.
Version.
Yeah.
It's very much still out there.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that's really popular and on the radio is not, you know, everybody's cup of tea. And if it's not, it is out there. You can find it. And that's the beautiful thing about how many songs are getting released all the time.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming, but it's also kind of a cool thing too.
I think it's a good time to be a fan. I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and it's fun too, because it's like, you know, growing up without social media, it's like, what are your artists that you like? What are they like? You know, and now it's like you can interact with your fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe because there's so much going on that it's hard to like reach that pinnacle. But I also think that it's like easier to like make a living, I feel like, in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
for sure.
You can find like your tribe, your fans.
Yeah, it's a lot more accessible to anybody to get their stuff out there, you know, and find your people. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you got to find all the silver linings where you can, you know, with all of that stuff.
Absolutely. You guys have all done like solo stuff. What is like some of your favorite things about being in a band? Because when Nick and I interview bands all the time, I'm like, I want to be in a band. You know, is there like any specific things that you're like, this is one of the cool things I love about being in this trio?
For me, I think it's the collaboration of it. Like, I think sometimes when you're writing a song by yourself, you can get stuck in your own way and you can, you know, get blocked a little bit. But when you have two other people, if you're writing a song, you have different perspectives. And I think also when it comes to different life paths, where we can bring different things into a song in a writing session. So I think that for me is like the coolest.
Yeah.
I love when, like, if you're not feeling 100%, you have two other girls that can like bring it for you or vice versa. It's like, if you're doing a solo thing, it's all on you. And if you're having a bad day or whatever, you don't have two girls that can lift you up and help you kind of carry some of the weight. And so for me, it just feels like so nice knowing that I've got like two girls supporting me, you know, and also like highs and lows, they know exactly everything I'm feeling. So it's not like someone on the outside going, oh, she's, it's like we're all feeling the exact same thing. And it's like a beautiful thing to have that, you know, when you're on a low, it's like, well, we can lift each other up and we all know what it feels like. And then when you're on a real high, it's like celebration and we're all feeling the same thing. And I don't know, it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. I feel like that principle too, when you apply it to collaborating, is also really beautiful, because if you're just not, if you're in your own way or if you're like stuck in a rut, then you've got two other people that kind of bring you out of it. And it's also fun because we have so much to draw on. It's not just one perspective. It's like, I don't have to only be inspired by my own life to write music. I'm inspired by their lives to write music, you know? And so it's really fun to have all of that together.
You could have like a To Be Yours on the record, but also like He Ain't My Problem.
Exactly, Jennifer.
Yeah, poor girls.
No, it's great though. It's like we've got Stevie falling in love and getting married, and then we've got you getting divorced, giving us great material.
I mean,
that's a balance, full life you guys. Cycle.
It's a full album.
Balance.
This
is not an EP. This is a full album.
Right. I mean, that's like, I think some of the music that hits the hardest is like what's the most real.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, He Ain't My Problem's very real.
Yeah.
We were on radio tour when we wrote that too, but it was just so, we were laughing so hard. We like ordered wine and French fries in a hotel room, and felt so bad for our neighbors because we ended up getting drunk and we were just had so much fun writing that one. And also what's like a beautiful thing with us that you were asking about being in a trio, but like when we wrote that song, there were a couple lines that we were like, can we write that? Or if you're like at a traditional Nashville writing session, they'd be like, no, you can't write that. And we're like, yeah, it's our song. We can say whatever we want to say, you know? And so we wrote lines that, you know, maybe were like a little risque, but it's real. And so that's like really fun and freeing to not.
There's a few lines like that on the record for sure.
Yeah.
I noticed how I was like, okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. And like, Make Me Want to Smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Stuff on there. Very cool. Very fun.
Thank you.
I was reading on the press release that it's like you guys met through social media in a way. That's why you were brought on. How did that come about?
Jen and I were stalkers. we were stalking Stevie and going back in her archive.
Yeah, look, Kip Moore had told me about Stevie like years ago, and he was like, "You got to write with this girl. She's so good." And so we wrote together now, I don't know, it's probably been like 8 years ago or at this point. So I had known Stevie, but Natalie didn't. And so I sent Natalie Stevie's like Instagram. I'm like, check out this girl. Like, she's so sick. Her guitar playing, she's beautiful. She's nice. And she's a great songwriter. And so, yeah, I think we gave you lots of views over the, and our whole management team and everyone. I mean, and then we like asked her to write with us, and we kept like, of course, Natalie and I knew we wanted her, but we kept going, hey, do you want to like have breakfast and do you want to hang out? And because we wanted to ask her to be in the band. And I don't know, something happened where she had to cancel and we're like, okay, can you have breakfast tomorrow? You know,
like, she's like, can we reschedule?
Yeah, like, why do these co-writers keep wanting to have breakfast with me?
Like, they really like me. Yeah, it was funny too for me because I had been a fan of Runaway June before. Oh, cool. And so I had written with Jen, obviously, and then I had written with one of the former members, Hannah. And so it was before Natalie joined, and I knew who Natalie was. So when they both reached out, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, like I would love to write a song with you and maybe get a Runaway June cut. Like, who wouldn't? And so it kind of like clicked very easily after that. Like, we just wrote a song and it was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's funny that with Nashville, people think like if you are on stage with somebody and you're playing guitar, it's like, oh, Kurt, you play for Luke Combs. You must be like the best guitar player ever. But it's like, that's not how the industry works at all.
No.
You know, it's like, you have to, everyone's good in Nashville, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, you have to be friends because you're stuck on this metal tube together for however many days a year. And you're going to the 6 a.m. flights after the 2 a.m. last calls. And it's just kind of like, are they annoying? You know,
right.
Do they stink? You know,
it's like. Yeah. Are they just weird? Like, you spend a lot more time like hanging out together than you do making music in any band. So yeah, the hang vibe is very important.
Makes sense why you guys were like, you want to get breakfast? You want to hang out? Let's grab a drink. Right.
Yeah.
You got to pass the vibe check first.
Yeah. Which is like, it's like dating or something, you know?
It is. It's like a marriage. Yeah.
I bet there's probably like some humbling moments, like sharing the stage together. You know, it's like, you can't, if you're used to only just doing what you want, it's like, that doesn't fly. You know, and for you guys to do it together, it's like, I think it just shows like how dedicated you are to the band, which is really cool. I'm like, that's got to be tough sometimes.
Oh,
yeah.
That's kind of, I've never really thought about it that way, but that's really cool to think about it.
Right. It's like, I mean, you're like, we're doing this and this is the important thing. So we're all going to push together in the same direction. And I think that's powerful too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got your people with you at your side.
Yeah.
Working towards the same goal.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys coming in and chatting with me. And is there anything we need to plug before we sign off here? Well, the record?
Our single, New Kind of Emotions, on the radio right now. So even though you can find music in all other avenues, it is nice to hear your song on the radio. And that's one of our favorite songs. And when we wrote that song, that's kind of like, that was the pinnacle. We were like, okay, this is what we are. This is mm-hmm. what this Runaway June sounds like. And so it's really cool to have that song be on the radio. And it's a love song, which is like rare for us.
Yeah. And I know you guys are working your tails off, getting that thing on there, doing all the radio shows and everything.
Yeah.
So I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to hear my own voice on the radio. What a trip.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's cool, so cool.
Cool feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've played guitar on songs that were on the radio before, but.
Which is also so cool, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, that's
so cool.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You should be also, really proud of yourself.
Also, like you have great hair. I'm like, geez.
Hey, we all have great hair, don't we? On this
not me. You do. All three of you do.
You should just name this podcast The Hair.
The Hair. The Hair.
The Hair.
I know. I have this one. I don't know if you guys can see it. It's really long white mustache hair. I was noticing this recently. I'm like, oh, God.
It's starting.
I don't see it, so I think you're good.
Maybe it fell out. Yeah, oh, there it is.
Oh, there yeah, it is. Now I see it. Oh, you pulled it out.
Amazing.
Did I?
Or not out, but like for the world to see.
They say if you pull it out, then two grow back.
No way, really?
Oh, that's my just gosh. An old like wives tale.
I feel like that can't be true.
It's absolutely not true, but that's what people say.
It doesn't check out.
Yeah.
That's how Santa Claus got his beard. He kept pulling him out.
Yeah. Then I just have this like enormous beard.
You're like Tim Allen and Santa Claus. It just grows back instantly.
Oh, God. I hope not. This film guy at the gym came up to me yesterday and was like, dude, nice beard. Like, how do you do it? I'm like, I don't know.
I just don't
shave, I guess.
That's a funny question.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I don't know how to
I was born with it.
Yeah.
Any tips and
maybe
tricks?
Maybe it's Maybelline. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming in and spending some of your media day with me.
Yeah,
and
thanks
the Raise
for
Ready
fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone go follow Runaway June and follow all the gals and call your radio station and listen to the record and like their TikToks.
Yes.
Yay.
That's all the things.
Thank you.
Is that everything? I think so. All right, guys. Well, I'm Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you guys on the front row. Thank you guys so much.